Hey friends, welcome or welcome back to the Swoon Diaries podcast. I'm your host Naz, and today I will be doing another rendition of Love or List, and I'm with my wonderful friend Christina. Hey Christina.
Hey Naz. Hi guys.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's the end of the workday. I washed off the day. I'm in my jammies. I'm ready to roll.
Yes, I love it. We're both in our jammies, so it's great. We're like ready to wind down for the day.
We're ready. We are ready. So yeah.
Yay! And today, Christina and I are going to be talking about two new dramas that have come out in May so far, The Atypical Family and The Midnight Romance in Hagwon. So we're very, very excited. But first, let's do a quick catch up. So Christina, what are you watching right now?
Okay, so what am I watching? I'm watching, if you asked me like a week ago, I would have said only Lovely Runner. And now, just a week ago, I'm watching all these shows. So I'm watching, Lovely Runner. I'm watching this, well, Atypical Family, yes. Midnight Romance. I'm just going to call it Midnight Romance because I feel like the title is too long.
It's too long. For all intents and purposes, we're calling it Midnight Romance from here on out.
Here we go. Yes. Okay, great. And then I am watching, what else am I watching? Atypical Family. And then I watched, I think, two episodes of Frankly Speaking. I don't know if I'm going to finish it, but it was there. I clicked it and here we are. And then I am watching, I'm halfway through Wonderful World.
Awesome. I can't wait to watch Wonderful World.
It's totally not what I was expecting. And it's a total mystery, which is so funny because I usually don't gravitate towards that. But it's really good. I really like it. I would recommend.
Yes, I was actually really surprised when you told me that you're watching it because it didn't seem like it would like be something that's like, you know, down your alley.
Mm-hmm. I know. But then some viewers, and I'm from the Your Girls K-Drama podcast.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I forgot to say that. I'm so sorry. I'm so used to just being like, it's Christina. It's just like, no, Christina's the host of a podcast now. I'm so sorry. I'm not being a good host today.
Stop it. You're fine. No. Because if I say, oh, the viewers or oh, the listeners, people will be like, what? Okay. So a listener recommended it for me and she said like, oh, there's a lot of good messages in the story. And you know what, Naz, what you and I have in common, we love a good message.
Yes,
we love a good message.
I love that. I can't, Christina, I can't with you. Just like your satisfaction after you said that statement on your face. Oh my gosh, that little tune will be relevant later, y'all, so don't worry. But
do you have regrets that you invited me on here?
No, never. I'll never regret having you on, never.
Okay, well, you know what, it's okay if you do, because it's a problem.
No, you're a lot of fun.
It's a hot mess express. I'm interrupting. Go.
Okay, I really want to watch. I can't. I was so excited when I saw that Wonderful World was finally on Hulu. So I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to watch it. So I will definitely report back. I'm like kind of swamped right now with dramas, but when I can get to it, I definitely will.
It's super intense. The acting is superb, but I'm really enjoying it. I think you'll like it too, honestly.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited.
Yay.
So for me, I'm watching Lovely Runner, of course. Mm-hmm. I feel like Lovely Runner has captured all of our hearts. It's just so good.
It's really good. And in the beginning, you thought it was kind of like a sleeper hit, but everyone's loving it.
Yeah.
With Queen of Tears, there was some people that loved it, some people that were in the middle, and some people that actually didn't like it. So it was definitely mixed reviews. But I feel like overall, people are like, this show's great. It's nice. Yes. It's great. So that's really cool. I like that.
Absolutely. I love like as a K-drama community, when we can all just like watch a show together, everyone's watching it and everyone's having a good time. It's just so fun. And I'm also watching the two shows that we are discussing today, but more on that later. I'm also watching Summer Sense, which is part of the Endless Love series. So there's Winter Sonata, there's Autumn in My Heart, there's Spring Waltz. I'm watching Summer Sense right now. So yeah, that's so good so far. I think I'm on episode 3. Also, quick note. So I will be doing 3 reviews like in June on like the Endless Love series. I'll be doing Winter Sonata, on Autumn in My Heart, and Summer Scent. But I recorded those episodes like a few weeks ago. So when you hear them, you're going to be like, this K-Ketchup sounds old, because it is. So I just want to let y'all know that, you know, it's very much like out of order. Like, and I recorded those episodes like, you know, like towards the end of April, mid-April. So if you get confused, that's why. But I'm so excited about it. And I hope y'all listen, because I love all those shows. And I feel like as a K-drama lover, if you really love K-dramas, I feel like you should really watch them, because they're very good. And like, yes, they're old, but like, I feel like they're like, they kind of capture the essence of like why we love K-dramas. So I highly recommend Autumn in My Heart, Winter Sonata, and Summer Scent.
When did they come out? Because I don't know anything about these shows.
Oh, yes. So Autumn in My Heart came out in the year 2000. It's very old. Yeah. Oh. So it's, yeah. And it stars Song Hye Kyo, so the main lead in The Glory. So it stars her. I think it was one of her first roles. So she's like 20.
She was young.
Yeah, she was really young. And Song Seung-hun is the main, the male lead. And then Won Bin is like the second male lead. And then Winter Sonata came out in 2002. Oh my goodness, I don't remember the female lead's name. But she,
You're good.
You remember in Crash Landing on You when that one soldier loved K-dramas? And Seiri like set up like this little like meeting with like his favorite actress. That's her.
That's the main lead.
Yes. So that's the main lead in Winter Sonata. And then Summer Scent came out in 2004. And that one stars Song Ye Jin. Of course, we know her. We love her.
We love her. Wait, which one is that one? I'll watch that. I mean, I'll watch them all. But yes. Which one's that one with Song Ye Jin?
That's Summer Scent.
Do you like that one?
I like it so far. It's really good so far. And Song Seung-hun stars as the male lead in that one as well. And then there's Spring Waltz, which is not available on Viki or anywhere I can find. But that one stars Han Hyo-ju, who recently started Moving. She was like the main lead in that. She's in Happiness. She's in a lot of stuff. She's an icon. So yeah, but I love them.
Do they capture just the K-drama essence? They still have that?
Though they're old, like I've genuinely enjoyed them, like really. And of course there's things about them that are just like, ooh. I mean, like, because you know, things, I mean, ideals change and things like that, like you're gonna get those little hiccups, but I really enjoyed them. And like, even with Summer Sun, I'm not done yet, but I know I'm gonna really, really like that one too. So yeah,
that's awesome.
So look out for that, y'all. It's coming soon. Yay.
I need to watch them.
Yes. Okay, let's jump right into it.
Let's go.
Yes, let's go. So excited. First, we're going to talk about the Atypical Family. And here's the rundown. The Atypical Family tells the story of Bok Kwi-ju and his family, a family with superpowers losing their abilities due to chronic disease and incompatibilities with modern lifestyles. However, their lives change after being intertwined with Do Da-hae. So, Bok Kwi-ju is played by Jang Ki-young, who you may have seen in My Roommate is a Gumiho, as well as Search WWW, Now We Are Breaking Up. He's been in a lot of shows. And Do Da-hae is played by Chun Woo-hee, who will be in the upcoming K-drama The Eight Show, which is going to be a Netflix original. I believe it's coming out this week, as well as be melodramatic. So let's just jump right into it. Like, this show is so interesting.
It's so interesting. It's intriguing. I think that's the biggest word that I can come up with, is I'm just intrigued by it. And I kept wanting more. And it was so funny because it is slow.
Yeah.
And how the storytelling is very somber. Does that make sense? It's just it's not dramatic, but then it's just enough to keep your attention. And so with the characters, they all have powers. And when I read that synopsis, I was like, okay, is it like superheroes flying around? Like, what's happening here? No, like, no, but it really, I think they're doing it well. I mean, we don't see a lot of the quote unquote magic part, but it's just implied. And because they all lost their powers based on all the greed or different, you know, mental illnesses that they have. So they're... but yeah, so then, so let's see really quick. So all the characters have, I don't know what the dad has, but I know that Bok Gwi-ju, the male lead, he is depressed. He has depression.
Yes.
And then we know, the mom, she has insomnia and she can't sleep. And so because she has insomnia, she's not able to dream and see, you know, the stock market and get money. And that's how they're so wealthy, is because she sees the future.
Right.
And then the little the sister of Gwi-ju, she she was part of a like health clinic. She's part of a health clinic, but now she's super unhealthy, you know, and so then she used to be able to fly and now she can't.
Yeah.
So she's under that kind of spell. And then I don't know what the dad has. Like
dad has a power.
Okay.
I think he married it. I think the powers are with like the mom's like family line, and I think that's how the kids got it. I feel like the dad is like a normal like person that doesn't have powers.
Okay.
Yeah. At least that's my impression.
Yeah. Cause I was like, wait. I was like, oh, Naz can tell me because I don't remember. Yeah. And then Gwi-ju's daughter, which we find out that's his little daughter that's about like 12 years old, she's just addicted to her phone.
Yes. Fully. We also don't know what her power.
We don't know anything.
Yeah.
No. We just know, that she's just, I think, either once she's not addicted to her phone, maybe we'll be able to see what she has. But it's just, it's very, very intriguing. And I was very intrigued even with the female lead also.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So when I heard about the show and I was like, this sounds really interesting. I just want to watch it just because. And I was like immediately taken by it because like you said, it's very like mellow. But then they just do these reveals and you're like, oh, like,
yeah, like okay.
Like, okay, like this is where we're going. But they're so low key with it. I don't know. It's really genius storytelling. I also really love like the cinematography. It's just very crisp.
It's beautiful.
But, you know, I know I absolutely agree. The characters are all very layered and very interesting. Gwi-ju, his power was he could take himself back to like happy moments. So because he's depressed, he doesn't have happy moments. So he can't, you know, time travel anymore. So they're all kind of like all the family members are kind of suffering from something and it's inhibiting their ability to use their powers. And yeah, so it's very, very interesting. I don't know, I was really taken by it. It's funny because when I first started the show, literally within the first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, they have this actress in a fat suit. And I was really, really concerned about it at first.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. And they always showed her like eating snacks and stuff. And I was like, it seems to be very like stereotypical and I didn't really like it. But then I feel like as we go through episode one and even into episode two, we really see that they're not just trying to paint this like one dimensional character. They're really showing us that she uses food as a way to cope and she's dealing with a lot. And we kind of get into her head as it pertains to like food and how she's coping with life and how she uses it to like comfort herself. So I was just like, okay, I feel like they're handling this with care.
I was caught off guard though in the beginning because you know right away that it's a fat suit.
Right away.
I'm like, okay.
Right away. And I was like, oh, that's a little icky. I don't like that. But then like I saw the way they were handling it. I was just like, okay. So I think that they're doing a good job with this. And then I feel like you get so many situations that you think are one way, but, you know, it turns out to be another way. So, like, right at the beginning of the show, we see Gwi-ju, you know, him and the whole family, they're on the mountain. And mom is like, we got to get our powers back. She's just like, what was the daughter's name? I think she said, is her name Dong-hee?
Yes. The sister of Gwi-ju.
Yes. And so she's like, you have to fly. Like, Gwi-ju, try to go back in time. Like, she's like pushing them. And, you know, Gwi-ju ends up like kind of walking away. He ends up just like, you know, to the audience, it just looks like he just like walks into the ocean. And, you know, Da-hae, happens to see him. She, you know, runs to him because he starts to drown. And then she, like, you know, saves his life. She gives him mouth to mouth and everything. So, but like a few days later, mom goes to a massage parlor. And guess who happens to be her masseuse? Dahe. And it's like, oh, and she's like, oh my gosh, I recognize you. And they recognize each other from the beach. And, you know, but then we start to see, like, okay, Dahe seems to have planned just this somehow.
Too intuitive.
It just seemed too... just like too coincidental. And one day Dahe goes to their family house because she was gonna give, you know, the mama home service, like massage, and she ends up slipping something into her drink. And I was like, okay, this girl, what is this girl about? What is she gonna do? Yeah, what's going on? I was like, I don't know what's gonna happen. So I was like, okay, so clearly she has, like, you know, really sinister motives. But it's really interesting because at the end of episode one, the way that they revealed it, it was just like brilliant, because we see Dahe having these interactions with Guiju, because basically, like, the mom is in love with Dahe and she's like, I want you to marry my son. Like,
yeah,
you're amazing. Like, you need to be in my family, because she really wants Guiju to get better, because we find out that he's depressed because he lost his wife in a car accident. Mm-hmm. So she's like, yeah, I just want him to find love again so he can move on. So, you know, Guiju is kind of like in his own world. He doesn't really care. And she was like telling him all these, no, she was telling the mom all these stories about how she's been married twice. Both of her husbands were bad to her. One was cheating on her. The other one was like beating her. And at the end, like, they just do all these reveals. We find out that every single story that she told was a lie. Like the situations with the husbands, like, she scammed both of them. Mm-hmm. The situation, and even like with her family, it was like kind of like a Parasite situation, for those of you who have seen Parasite. But like her whole family, they're just like a bunch of scammers. And basically, like, every single meeting that she's had with this family from beginning was planned. How she, like, scoped out the family, I'm not sure yet, but, like, every, like, her targeting that family, everything was planned, like, her crossing paths with the mom, everything. And I was just like, oh, wow. I was genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
Yeah. I felt the same way, just because you see her and she's just very, you don't think anything of it just because of her calm nature. And so mm-hmm. in the beginning, I'm like, oh, she's this innocent girl who, you know, maybe we'll get with Guiju kind of thing. But then as, like, time progresses, that first episode, you see her, well, in the beginning, it seemed like she was putting something in her drink, the mom's drink, so that she can sleep. So I thought it was, like, in good intention. But then at the end, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I was kind of thrown off guard in that sense. And I'm like, oh my gosh, every little thing, she was right there. So even in the beginning, when they were all up on that cliff, I think she, like, right away, she was right there when Guiju was in the water, and she just, like, mm-hmm. magically was there. So it was just, because in the beginning, I'm like, oh, that's just K-drama fashion, you know, always be there at the right time. But no, it was just a little too fishy. Mm-hmm. So, but I thought they did that really well, because then you see, and even when she was at that family's house, they asked, like, oh, she's like, I don't have any family. And it's just so, it was so believable. And then at the end, they have, like, a meeting. She has a meeting with her mom. Mm-hmm. Then she has and then that sister is working at that gym.
Yes.
Too. So they're all in on it, and they're all asking each other questions. So that was really, I was like, holy moly, what's going to happen? So I don't know. But I am super, super intrigued by Guiju. I was like, you look great.
Yes. And at first I was concerned, because I was just like, the hair is just terrible. But because of it, fits the character. It really fits the character.
He looks so good.
Yeah, because he's so down on his luck. And so he's like, his hair is a mess. Like, he embodies it really well. And he does the moody thing really, really, really well in this show. So
his voice is excited. It's really good, like, how he did it. And I loved. So that's how we end episode one. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like in episode two, it really picked up. We know what's happening. And so, like, we kind of are catching that girl's bluff.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying all these things. I'm like, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. But I really, really love his daughter. Bulk Ina. Ina.
Ina.
Ina. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She's so sweet. And you can tell that she's really, like, I mean, her dad doesn't take care of her at all. And you can tell all, that she has a lot of feelings about that. And she seems like she's really sad. She stays in her room. Mm-hmm. She doesn't come out, even on her birthday. Like, she, you know, came out, blew out the candles and, like, went back to her room. Yeah. So I'm interested to, like, learn more about her as the show goes on. And I feel like in episode two, you see, like, the vulnerable side of her. Because after all, when she's, like, 11, 12, and she still needs, like, you know, a parent. And, like, when we see at the end of episode two, like, you know, this mysterious man is following her and she's scared and she like runs into like a public bathroom. We find out it's Dahe's brother. But, you know, she ended up getting her period and like Dahe helped her. And like it was just, so you see that little vulnerable side of her. So like at the end of the day, this is just, she's just a child. So
she's just a kid. Yeah. And it was really sad too, when it was her birthday and then the dad would always give her a stuffed animal. And so then she would like shove it in a drawer and there was a lot of them. And then I really thought it was sweet too with what's her name, Dahe, is that her name? Mm-hmm. Dahe. Mm-hmm. And how she just gave him those sneakers for her daughter. And I was like, that was really sweet. I'm like, I don't know if she meant that or like, I didn't understand. But the daughter, Ina, was so stoked.
Yes. She was really happy.
She was so happy.
I know. And like, it's interesting because I think it was like the beginning of episode two, we see like, you know, when we see Guiju go into the ocean, like that scene in episode one, he actually wasn't trying to take his own life. He was getting a child's toy out of the ocean and he ended up like getting taken under. So you're kind of seeing like a lot of things that aren't what they seem like happening. And then you're seeing like the true reveal, which is really cool.
Yeah. And like, what about that scene? I feel like that was really pivotal. Was when they was it either like a we know that Dahe is scared, terrified of fire. We know that she's had some trauma. Like when she doesn't use ovens. If she does, she uses like tongs or something to not actually touch it. And so then when they were all at the mall, the fire alarm went off, and then she just kind of like burrowed like a little like roly poly, and then what's his name, Guiju, came over. But I don't know if it actually did. He actually come? That was the question. Because remember, he was like, "I never did." He was like, "No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't." Do you remember that?
But if he didn't, how was he able to go back?
That's the thing. That's why I was like, remember when she was like, yeah, you were there to help me because you held my hand. And he was like, I never went to you. I never went to you. I never went to you. Do you remember?
Oh, I didn't even peep that. Oh, interesting. I didn't even peep that. Okay. But is that why it was like, okay, is that why it was all shaky like that then? When like their hands touched? Okay.
Yeah, because I don't know if it actually was real or not. Maybe someone can tell us. But I was like, I rewatched that scene and I'm like, huh, because he kept denying that he was there. So he doesn't know if he actually went back in time because he's kind of intrigued by Dahe. I always say her name. Yeah. Dahe. So I don't know.
Yeah, because I assume that he actually did help her because when later on when he was trying to activate his power, he like went back to that moment.
Yes.
And then he was like, so I assume he was, because I feel like he's only able to go back if it's something he actually did, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe something weird happened.
Because I don't know. He, remember when that happened, he left.
Mm-hmm.
And then that whole alarm went off. She shut down. And then she was like, oh, you came back for me. And he was like, what are you talking about? I don't even know. Like, no, I didn't. And he got really angry.
Okay.
So I don't know. Yeah, but maybe I'm the one not understanding.
No, I didn't pick up on that at all. So I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't even realize. I thought he was like basically trying to deny, like, oh, like I never held your hand romantically. I thought that's what he was mad about. But
I don't know. Maybe I got it wrong.
It's okay. We'll find out. Someone will tell us. But
they will, I guess. Yeah.
but yeah, I loved that scene, though, because, like, from the beginning, the chemistry was there between them. I think they have a really great chemistry. And I think, like, from that moment on, like, I felt like, even though Dahe is still part of this scamming family, I felt like in episode two, she's starting to feel, like, a little bit torn. Like, she's starting to feel, especially when that scene when they're outside the bathroom with Ina, and she was trying to tell her brother to go away and stuff like that. Like, I felt like, okay, like, because she's definitely starting to fall for this guy. I can already feel it. Like, I can already feel it. So
it's
yeah,
a soft spot already for
exactly, especially for Ina. And even when Guiju was trying to reactivate his power, and he went back to the mall incident where he touched her hand, and then he went back to another incident when he saw her, and then another one, he was just like, whoa, does this mean that I was happy all those times that I saw her? So, like, he's already starting to, like, you know, have feelings too. So
yeah. I'm excited. I've been wanting to watch episode 3 and 4. So I'm like,
me too. I can't wait. I need to catch up because I really like it. I'm also, like, really curious about this accident that killed Guiju's wife. Because, what did you think about that scene? Because I was like, I'm not clear of, like, what happened. Like,
because I don't
understand. One minute he was in the car and then
he
was gone. Yeah.
Because I was curious to see, like, was he in the accident and then he left to, like, go to a happy memory and then he came back. So mm-hmm. was he actually, I don't even know if he was actually there.
That's why I was confused. Yeah, because he was in the car, and then he, like, alluded to the fact that, like, he was maybe going somewhere and he'll be right back or something. So I was like, but why did he go to a happy memory, like, at that moment, like, while they're driving somewhere?
Yeah, does he have control over it? I don't know.
I feel like he does, though, because all he has to do is close his eyes and it happens. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like he was like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna go. But is this, like... I don't know. Like, I'm trying to, because with the, I don't know. I was kind of confused about the wife and, like, well, she just had, when he was, when, I guess she looked in the passenger seat and he was gone and she was just, I don't know. She just had this look on her face. Like, I don't know if the accident happened on purpose. Like, she crashed the car on purpose. Like, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
What happened?
Maybe in episode 3 we'll get more. But yeah, I was very confused too, because then all of a sudden he's in the car. He can't get out. And he knows that, like, his wife has died. And he's like, what? I just got here. What's going on? Kind of thing.
Exactly. So I'm interested to see, like, what happens with that. Interested to see, like, what, you know, what happened with Dahei's trauma with, like, fire. We see, like, a very blurry flashback, probably, like, school age time, and, like, a fire alarm is going off and stuff. But I'm, like, interested to see, like, because that seems to be, like, her one, like, vulnerability. She seems like a pretty, like, tough girl, but then when it comes to, like, heat, fire, anything, she's like, so I'm interested to see.
I wonder if she kind of will come to, because I don't, like, with what's his name? Guiju's mom. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think she's, like, the nicest person. Like, I'm just like, like, I really liked him. I really like his sister. I really like his daughter. Mm-hmm. So I'm, like, rooting for them. And I'm hoping that maybe Dahei will, you know, go to them instead of doing what she's doing, because I feel like she's just not really into it. I think her sister, Dahei's sister, is more invested in this whole scamming thing.
Yeah, and she seems like pure evil. Like,
she really does.
Yeah, because remember that one scene when is her name Donkey? I keep forgetting the sister's name, but she was on the treadmill because basically
Donkey. Yeah,
Donkey. Yes. So she we already talked about how, like, you know, she's, like, overweight. And she has a boyfriend that's, like, you know, a doctor at, like, this medical clinic. And she's, like, trying to lose weight. She's, like, running on the treadmill literally, like, way too fast. Like, she's going to hurt herself. Yeah. And she ended up, like, not being able to breathe. And she's, like, on the floor. And then Dahei's sister was, like, quote unquote, trying to help her. And Donghee's, like, literally, like, hyperventilating. And then she's finally coming down and she's, like, literally crying. And it was so sad. But, like, Grace, the sister, did not care at all. She was just like, okay. And I was like, oh, this girl's pure evil. She doesn't have a heart.
Why are recent dramas, this character's name Grace? There's a character in Queen of Tears named Grace. Like, why? Why?
Both very much annoying characters.
Funny.
Oh my gosh. Man. Do you have any theories on what Ina's power is or will be?
I don't. I have actually no idea. I think the whole time I've been watching her, I just have had, like, such a soft spot for her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel bad because she lost her mom. She kind of has, like, a non-existent dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's just been kind of on her own. And I think that's why she has that phone as her comfort. And so right. with what is his name? Donghee, she does food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ina does the phone kind of thing. And so they're, you know, she has her own, you know, she's just trying. And it's so sad to see her also in high school or middle school, wherever she is. Did you notice that that little boy that keeps Kehoe. Looking at her? He's Kehoe from Castaway
and
Diva.
And the other girl is from It's Okay to Not Be Okay, who was starred with him in that show. It's like the younger versions too, which was so cool. Yes.
Isn't that wild? They're
so girlfriend. Crazy. But yeah,
I don't think I have any theories yet. Mm-hmm. Just because not yet. What I am hoping is that Dahe will learn probably from Gui Ju, like mm-hmm. how to help her. Cause I feel like he could help her with the whole scared of fire aspect.
Yeah.
So we'll see. What about you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know. There's something about her that just feels like she's like all knowing in some way. Like, I don't know how that would be. How that would manifest itself.
She's like keeping it to herself. And exactly. We keep getting like little pieces of her here and there. But
yeah.
And it's just very surprising. And I really do. I'm intrigued by her too. But I'm hoping, I think they're going to have really great chemistry also.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing but I don't know. Like, I feel like she's kind of like all knowing and maybe she can read minds. I don't know. But we'll see like what her ability is if she ends up having one. I think that Dahe's relationship with Ina is like what's gonna really be like that glue that brings like mm-hmm. her and Guiju together, because I feel like she genuinely is like really cares for Ina, like
she really does. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. And I think that develops. That's how his heart's gonna open. I feel like every single time he sees her do those little acts, like with mm-hmm. the shoes, with the bathroom situation kind of thing.
Yeah.
He just was like, he doesn't even realize it, but she hasn't had a mom at all. Exactly. And she's doing it like no one's making her do it. She's doing that all on her own. Yeah. So that's really sweet. So I'm hoping good positive vibes.
Yes, from Dahe. Yes. And I feel like if there was no child involved, she probably would have gone, you know, along with her regular scamming thing like mm-hmm. she's done before. Mm-hmm. But I feel like her seeing Ina and like how lonely she is and just how sad she is. Mm-hmm. Maybe she sees herself in her.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine that her family life wasn't very supportive growing up.
Yeah.
Seeing that they're all scammers. Yeah. So I think that kind of changed everything for her. So I feel like she's going to be kind of like the glue. So mm-hmm. we'll see what happens with that. Yeah.
And it shows too that Dahe has just a heart. Like, she really mm-hmm. does. Cause you mm-hmm. can't mask that. You can't mask, especially with kids. Kids know when you're being fake or genuine. Exactly. Like that is, I mean, as an elementary school teacher, I know that very well. They know. And so that's why even Ina called Dahe out when mm-hmm. she put that like powder in the grandma's drink, and she was like, what are you doing? And she was like, she can't mask it, so she mm-hmm. hasn't done it after that kind mm-hmm. of thing, but she knows. I mean, so she does have a heart, and I'm looking forward to it. It's good.
Me too. So yes, now off to our decision. So Christina, will you continue watching The Atypical Family?
Nah. Yes. That means yes in Korean if no one knows.
Yes, I will be watching too. I really like this drama. Like, I like it a lot. When I watched the two episodes, I was like, first of all, they went by in a breeze. Like, I didn't even feel like an hour, 10 minutes went by. Like, that's how much I was enjoying them. So I'm really excited to keep going and see where the story takes us. So yes, I will definitely be watching.
Oh yeah. I definitely want to continue watching. And I haven't seen like a 12 episode drama in a while. It's been kind of a minute.
Same for like an ongoing 12 episode drama. That's so true. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let's see how. Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm like, it's so funny. You're like, oh, it seems not as like not a big commitment. I mean, it's only 4 episodes less. Like, that's not really, you know, but I'm like, yeah, I could do it. 12 episodes. you know.
Man, like 6 week commitment versus 8 week commitment, there's a difference. Like
a struggle. It's a struggle. No. We could do that. Oh, we could do that.
We could do it. But yeah, we love it. We recommend it. So if you're watching it, please let us know so we can talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool.
It's so good. It's so different. So cool. Okay, let's go on to the Midnight Romance and Hagwon, aka Midnight Romance.
You know, it had to be done. It had to be done. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Oh my gosh, I am crying. Oh gosh. Yeah. Yep. That is one of the wonderful OSTs from Midnight Romance.
You know, you have to say the whole drama, ma'am.
I know. The Midnight Romance in Hagwon.
Like, say that 10 times fast. The Midnight Romance of Hagwon. The Midnight Romance of Hagwon. The Midnight. Like, why is that? Why is. No.
I really wish that I really like, I was like, oh, they're definitely going to change the title. Like, they're definitely going to change it. Because, you know, you get like rough draft titles all the time. But I'm like, absolutely. Oh, that's the title. They're keeping that long title. Cool. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, here we are, guys. Here we are.
Here we are. Let's get into the, let's get into the Midnight Romance in Hagwon. And this is the rundown. Veteran Korean language teacher So Hye-jin's stable and pressure-free life is unsettled by the return of her former pupil, the one-time troublemaker Lee Joon-ho. A decade ago, she helped him gain admission to a prestigious university. He secretly fell for her then and has admired her from afar ever since. In the pursuit of love, he gives up his job at a major company to become a Korean language teacher and be closer to Hye-jin again. Will his plan work, and could this former teacher and student find love despite their sizable age gap? So Hye-jin is played by Jung Ryo-won, who you may have seen in Walk of Love, which I thought was funny because she starred in Walk of Love with Joon-ho, who his full name is Lee Joon-ho.
Oh my gosh.
So I just thought that was funny. She also starred in May It Please the Court and Diary of a Prosecutor. And Lee Joon-ho is played by Wee Ha-joon, who you may have seen in Squid Game, Romance is a Bonus Book, Young Song Creature, Something in the Rain, just to name a few. So.
You're so excited.
I know. I am. This
you
is,
love him.
I mean, Wee Ha-joon being the main lead in a romance, this is what dreams are made of. This is what dreams are made of.
Quote Lizzie McGuire, yo. Quote her. Quoter.
I mean, we've all been hoping and wishing that this is going to happen, and it finally happened, y'all.
It's here.
So this is very exciting. It's an exciting time to be a Wee Ha-joon fan.
You know, but I have something to say.
Yes.
Open to page 64. We'll study what came before. Books are binding. Okay, I'm done.
Y'all, those are actual lyrics from the OST for this show.
It's literally like, open to page 64, we'll study what came before. Books are binding, but there's so much more. This little school's just a race, but I can tell by your grace, history will one day know your face.
And like, y'all, it's, yes, they're teachers, but why does the song have to be so literal?
It's literal. Like, gotta open to page 64, yo.
I can't. So, you know, as I said in the rundown, you know, we meet Hye-jin. She's like an amazing teacher. She teaches at an academy. And she reconnects with Joon-ho, who was like her star pupil. She was a junior in college when she was his tutor, and he was like a senior in high school, I believe. So, you know, they're just a few years apart, which I was like, okay, because for some reason I thought their age gap was like 10 years. But I think their separation was 10 years long, not like the age gap.
I think the actors are actually 10 years apart.
Yes.
I think them in the show are not. But I'm so glad, because in the beginning, I remember doing a Jingu chat on your girl's K-Drama Pod, and mm-hmm. we were talking about this show. And I mean, even in the synopsis, it said like, oh, she's a teacher. She was the teacher of him. He was her student. Yeah. So I literally thought it was a high school thing. And then, But then I'm glad that they really established right from the get-go that, you know, he was 20, 21 years old going to this academy. She was like a part-timer, you know, she was still in college. So it really isn't that odd.
Right.
You know, kind of exactly. thing. So like, I was glad that I was nervous as me being a teacher. I was nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's a lot better that he was like, you know, about to graduate from high school and she was like in college, like middle of college. That's a lot better than whatever else it could have been. So, yeah. So they're like age mates, basically. So it's fine. There's, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. So
we want to really quick do a little precursor, though, because this show is the same director as Something in the Rain and One Spring Night. And with that director, he likes to use the same actors. He likes to use the same like artists for like songs and like a certain artist and then all the songs associated with it. And then he'll continue to repeat it. But he usually, I mean, all these actors in the show were either in Something in the Rain or in One Spring Night. So everyone's back.
Everyone is back for this drama. Yes. And you definitely feel those vibes when you start this drama. It's like the mood lighting. You're seeing a lot of the same actors. The repetitive OST in English that's beating you over the head.
That means nothing. Like,
that's nonsensical.
Something in the Rain, one of them is Stand By Your Man, and then another, which you can't, it takes you out, like, whoa. And then Save the Last Dance for Me by Bruce Willis. Like, that is... You need to watch that show ASAP, ma'am.
I just can't imagine watching a K-drama and Stand By Your Man constantly playing.
No, literally. There's two versions. There's literally the original Stand By Your Man. Literally, I'm telling you.
I can't believe they did that.
They did.
Oh my gosh.
So, and it was funny because that's my vibes, though. Yes, and that was my first drama ever. So I just thought, I was like, why do they keep the same song? Like, I guess this is K-drama. Like, this is what they do. You know.
And even like in One Spring Night, it's like literally every 10 minutes. I don't want to laugh. Oh no. Like, it was like every 10 minutes, like, you're hearing the song. And I remember I was watching One Spring Night and I was like, why do they keep playing this song like over again? Like, I cannot with this song. But it's just, it's his trademark.
Yeah, that's what he does. It's a trademark. I know.
But it's funny though, because like, even though he has his quirks and things like that, but it's like, it felt familiar, right? Like, when you start the show, even from the very beginning, it feels familiar, like the way it's lit and the way the characters are interacting with each other. So that's really cool, because it kind of seems like a little universe.
That's what he does really well. I think he knows his craft, and it's just, there's no fluff. It's literally just everyday life. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it doesn't even feel like we're watching a show. We're literally watching what's going on in real life, which I really do like that. And even every single, like with Something in the Rain, with One Spring Night, and now with this one, the first episode, the first scene, it's mid-conversation.
Yeah.
You don't know what the heck is happening. And it's taking you a while. You're like, well, what is going on, kind of thing. And it takes kind of a while to set it up. So I think they're still setting it up.
They're still definitely setting it up, for sure.
Because what is happening?
Nothing has happened. Nothing has happened, at least for me. Nothing has happened. So basically, Hyejin and Junho, they reconnect. First of all, the chemistry is natural. Like, you can tell they're so comfortable with each other as characters, but also like off screen. Like, the chemistry feels very, very natural, which I really liked. But like, yeah. You know, after episode one, again, I liked the drama. Like, I think if with a general sense of the word, I liked it. But I had to admit, I felt a little underwhelmed after episode one, because we spent a lot of time in the nitty gritty with this, you know, day to day
question.
Question 11.
What? Question 11.
Yes, question 11. We spent the whole episode.
Have you seen? Can I get a number 7? Oh, a number 11? 7. Have you seen that? Number 11.
I've okay, never
you
know what? Seen that.
Okay, I'm like totally. Okay, ignore me. Ignore me. The people that know, know. So sorry. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh. But like the whole episode basically, and I think I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to show us how Heijin works, how tenacious she is, how, you know, passionate she is about her job. But basically, you know, she teaches these students at the academy, and it's, you know, she kind of guides them in the right direction as far as like, okay, what questions are going to be asked on like the college entrance exam and all this stuff. So basically they got like, I think it was like a mock exam from one of their professors. And there's this question 11 that could have had two answers. And the students are like up in arms about it, and they're crying and they're upset. So she goes to the school and she talks to this professor about how this question was worded wrong and da 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 da. But we spent like the entire episode talking about this question. And I was just like, I understand what you're trying to set up here, but it was not fun to watch. And I was like, I understand like the intent, but like I struggled with that. And then even with like episode two, like, again, like beautiful to look at. We get really nice conversations between Junho and Heijin. Most of the time she was just kind of annoyed with him because he left his corporate job and he wants to be a teacher now. And she's like, this is hard work. Like, da, 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 da. She's like kind of salty with him. But like, again, like nothing happened. So I was like, yeah. I'm a bit concerned, I have to say. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm a bit concerned because I remember when I watched One Spring Night, I loved it like immediately. I was like, I love this. And yeah. I didn't feel like underwhelmed like how I mm-hmm. feel now with this show. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't hate mm-hmm. it, but like, I'm concerned for like yeah. how because, this is going to go.
And that's why, and I think that's probably why I compare, because I've seen both of them. I've seen Something in the Rain and One Spring Night. And mm-hmm. so it's hard for me to like to not compare it. But mm-hmm. just, I remember in Something in the Rain, they set it up very well right at the beginning that, you know, the characters, one character is really like in love with her or has always liked her, and she's, mm-hmm. you know, older and just doesn't even give him a second thought because he's younger than her anyway. And then with One Spring Night, we know right away that there's like chemistry between the two leads and that there was just this kind of forbidden love. Here.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah, because at this point we don't even know, like, I can't even tell you like how they're even gonna get together, like,
yeah. And I think they're trying to make, I think they were trying to be like, okay, because the last one there was a pharmacist and then a librarian, and then the other one there was like a coffee shop, and like this is it, I mean, yes, it's a teacher, but it's also like a tutoring service, like a private practice, so it isn't really yes. like, and it's not like a teacher that, like, from like the beginning of the day, it's like after school hours, because that's their yes. job. They have to tutor and provide them those services to do well on these tests, kind of thing. And yes. so, but yeah, it's super, super rigorous. But I know from just even that test question, and I know that was just so like redundant and just overly talked about too. But I mean, just because I am a teacher, I'm an elementary school mm-hmm. teacher, but I see how even in just that little instance that one question. So what happened was there was a girl and she just got one wrong on her mm-hmm. test, and it was one, and it literally broke her. Yeah. And this one question makes or break these kids. And so, and that's what I guess she was trying to get at, but for I sure. do understand that it was too much.
Yeah, it was like a touch too far. Like,
yes, and so I know, and I get what Heijin was trying to do, and it was a point to see her personality mm-hmm. and how she's just standing her ground. And yes, she's been experienced doing tutoring for, you know, however long, you know, kind of thing. But it was a direction that I didn't think that they were going to take, honestly.
Yeah, because like I expect, like, you know, shows like this to go like really microscopic with things. Like you know, with a slice of life show, you know that you're gonna see like the in Absolutely. And out, like all the mundane yes. things. But yes. like I felt like it was like 10 minutes too long. Like I was like, all right. And then the teacher that she was kind of going back and forth with scares me. I'm like, is he gonna try to kill her later? Like he's really
yeah, he's a little yeah. But and I think that's what was she was just trying to point to a fact like he did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And he didn't abide by the rules, but right. he was like, no, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And she was like, actually, right. I do this too. And I want to talk about it. And he just yeah. got so defensive. So I see that yeah. part. But other than that, I'm scared that there's going to be like a murder component to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I guess he's like really, he seems deranged. Like he gives me deranged vibes. And I'm also concerned about Junho's parents. I think they're going to be a problem. I think they're going to be a major problem. And like in true fashion of this director. Series,
it's going to be a problem. And it's funny though, because I think, I don't know. I just, well, yeah. So with Junho, mm-hmm. he, and I think that's what the main issue is just yeah. a career change right yes. in the middle. And so, and he was like, yep, I'm going to be a teacher or I'm going to be a tutor, all this. But I don't know how Korean jobs work. I just know in America, it's not that fast, Naz.
Yeah, you can't just like quit your office job and be like, I'm going to become a teacher now. Just like waltz into academy and like start teaching. And it was like, I was so embarrassed for him when he went for his like audition.
And then he was slamming on the table. I was like, excuse me, sir.
We're like performing a skit. What's happening here? I was like, what? He was like, he like slammed on Hyejin's desk like she was like an unruly student that wasn't paying attention or something. He's like, get out of my classroom. And everyone was like, what? Like, the coworkers were like, what is happening?
I can't go out. Keep going.
No, he went on this like monologue about like, I don't remember what the monologue was, but it was like life's a journey and something like that. And then he went into his lesson, but I don't even think he actually like... He like barely taught. It was just him like being theatrical.
Yeah, I'm like, if you
and they hired him.
Yeah, that's the problem. And then I was like, okay, I know that's part of the story, but I was just like, you know. And then it was so funny because I was watching this with my mom, and then while he was doing that whole bit, my mom's like, "Is this how it is for you?" And I'm like, "What?
Is this how it is for you?"
And I'm like, this absolutely not. First of all, I work with 7-year-olds, and second of all, no, I teach it. No, mm-mm. No,
that
ma'am.
Is so
no.
funny. It's that is so funny. So funny.
Just like, yeah. So I just, and it's funny. I think what is throwing me off, and I mm-hmm. really think I'm gonna love him, but mm-hmm. right now his character, I'm mm-hmm. kind of turned off by him.
Mm-hmm. With the arrogance?
His character, yes,
yeah.
And that's the thing I'm having a hard time with. So yeah. I know he's just like, oh, I'm really good and this is it. And then he's trying to flirt with Hyejin and all that. Yeah. And I'm like, this is a little too much.
Yeah.
And, oh, well, I'm the best and I'm really good. And I'm like, well, actually, no, you don't know kind of thing. So that the arrogance part, I'm having a hard time liking him at the moment. Like, he's very charming. He's very, like, I hope that he, you know, and I think if this story, if Hyejin teaches him something, like, you can't always be like that with mm-hmm. teachers. You need to learn from your mistakes. You need to do this, you know, all mm-hmm. this. Like, we are, you know, always trying to revamp our teaching styles kind of thing. But just right now and how he is, I'm just a little turned off.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. He's definitely very assured of himself, very confident. And he thinks that he can kind of charm his way into anything. And I think that's kind of like, I feel like that was a source of one of the sources of Hyejin's annoyance with him. Cause she's like, you can't just like charm your way into this
Absolutely.
Industry.
Which he did.
Like, it takes a lot of work.
Yes.
But like, why do you think she was so mad though? I think like, was it because she's like, kind of, she wants him far away or does she resent him because like he threw away his education to work at the academy, or she's feeling him too and she doesn't want him near her?
So there's like so many different things. I think what I thought is, I think she knows that maybe he likes her. Yeah. Or there's something, because he's flirting like a little too much.
Yeah.
And so, but then she can't really say that to anyone.
Right. Right.
So then she's saying the whole like, oh, he's ruining his career kind of thing, which I feel like that's also a little bit more dramatic because I'm like, that has nothing to do with you. Like, you even talked to him kind of thing. But I think she's using that to mask her true feelings of, I don't think she likes him yet. I think she's like, she's not, she just, she's like, all this hard work I've done, and then he's just here and he gets it kind of thing. Maybe there's some resentment there, but I think overall she's just like, no, he shouldn't, he shouldn't, he shouldn't. And I was, and I had a sense, and I don't know what towards the end, but in the beginning, like middle of episode one and two, I'm like, I think she I think she knows that maybe he has a thing for her, but I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. Like, I definitely, like you said, I definitely don't think that she likes him yet.
Absolutely not.
I think that she may feel like he kind of likes her and he's throwing away his career to work with her. And she's just like, absolutely not. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. So I think because she's so like mad. So I think that like has to be it, because she's like really annoyed with him about it.
Yeah. But then, and then I remember when she asked the question of like, did you apply to any other academies? He's like, no, why? And that was another thing that was annoying. It's like, if you really want this, you should be applying to other places. But I think he's just like, maybe he thinks that she's endgame, which, I mean, obviously that's probably what's going to happen, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think like when she, I think that was basically like she got her answer, because she's like, well, where else did you apply? You didn't apply anywhere else. So clearly he's going there because he wants to be near her, which I think upsets her. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. Speaking of dramatic reactions, though, can we talk about the mom and how she, like, that threw up when Junho told her that he was going to become a teacher? And I was like, excuse you, drama queen? Like, what's wrong with you? And the dad, his parents are going to be a problem. Like, they are going to be a problem. And then when they find out that the real reason why he did it, they're going to, like, hate her and make her life miserable. I can already see it.
It's gonna be it's a secret romance. That's what this director does best. He's always like, the first one it was like that, the second one it was secret, this will be secret. Which it's funny because even with the parents, there's always in every single one of his dramas there is just overly dramatic, intense parents.
Yeah, I know, we get parents.
That overbearing parents. And so they, and it's so funny to see that one dad play, he usually plays a very calm dad or act like a character, but he seems like the one that's not too happy.
He's not chill at all.
And I've never seen him like that. So and he played his dad in Something in the Rain, which was funny too. So it's, they're back. They're back.
He's back.
But totally different characters. But yeah, so overreacting. I think this is gonna be a problem. We'll see. We will see. There's, and it's so funny because usually like after episode two, we would get kind of a feel of what we're going to, I don't know what's going to happen as. I honestly
don't. Me neither. No clue at all.
I'm kind of worried.
Me too. I'm worried. I know. I have no idea what's, I literally don't even know. Like, I can't even tell you like, oh, this is how we're going to get together. So, nope. I have no.
Nope.
Nothing. Like, nothing.
Yeah. And I just, and even like them trying to do a secret thing, or they're going to have this romance.
Yeah.
I'm like, it doesn't really seem like it needs to be forbidden. So I'm curious
to
see what's going to happen.
That's such a good point, because like, why would it need to be forbidden? Other than the fact that they'll be colleagues, and like at work, it would probably be weird because she used to be his tutor, but like otherwise,
yeah, but
outside in the world.
She was a college kid.
Right. That's true. But like, it could get complicated if people think, oh, he only got the job because they were dating or something like that.
Okay,
people don't
so
believe her
if
maybe she
that.
Says like, oh, we just started dating or whatever. So yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. I literally can't tell you. Like, I don't have theories or anything. I literally don't know how this is all gonna turn
it's
out.
Sad though, because like episode two, I was watching it and I fell asleep a little bit. Fell asleep.
Yeah, nothing happened in that episode. Like, absolutely nothing.
You know what did happen? Open to page 64. We'll study what came before.
They books played divine. It 10 times.
Mm-hmm. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-whoop-whoop-whoop. You're welcome. You're welcome. Like,
oh, gosh. This is great.
So, I'm curious. But the thing is, here's the thing. Are we going to continue watching it?
Well, that's the question. Christina, are you going to continue watching Midnight Romance in Hagwon?
You know, can you say that again?
The Midnight Romance in Hagwon?
Okay, why is that the name? Why is it called
they dropped the ball with that one. They should have just called it Midnight Romance.
Just Midnight Romance. I know he likes to do a lot of his scenes in the at night, and they're walking through the streets. Great. It's fine. But what is that name?
Yeah, it's just too long. Yeah. It's too clunky. Yeah.
Okay. I will say, if this was not the same director as Something in the Rain and One Spring Night, I don't think I would continue.
Yeah, yeah.
But because, unfortunately, because it's by the same writers or the same director, I'm going to continue to watch. Because I need to trust the process, and I usually love what the outcome is.
Yes.
And the moral of the story and the lessons that you learn and the character development. So for those reasons, I'm in. No. Not for those reasons, I'm out. No. Remember the last lover list we did? It was it Flowers of the Sun?
Yes, no. Yes. And then Flowers of the Sun.
What was it?
Like Flowers and Sand and Gyeongsong Creature. And it was like, as you know, it was a bummer review.
I did not continue watching those. And for those reasons, I'm out, you know, like kind of thing. But no, I will watch this because of, I don't know. I will continue. It's, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I won't be able to handle it, but
yeah,
I am going to finish. I'm going to watch it. What about you?
For me, I feel like it was you I was telling earlier today. I was like, I feel like I have to trust the process with this show because I don't know what's happening or where this is going. And much like what you said, because of the history I have with this director, One Spring Night is one of my favorites. And I love Wee Ha-joon. I don't want to give up on him just yet. Yeah. So I'm willing to give it episodes 3 and 4. Even I'm willing to give it maybe even halfway through to see how I feel. And also, I'm thinking maybe it'll be a better binge because the whole story will be out and then I can just kind of see it all play out and not wait week to week because I feel like the show is so slow. Maybe it's not as engaging to watch every week. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. But I will definitely be watching 3 and 4 and I'm committing to half and I'm going to see how it goes because I trust this director's work. So I'm just trusting that it's going to get better.
Yeah.
And
I'm hoping that even Junho, his character will get better. Cause I love, yes. I mean, Wee Ha-joon is great. I loved him. He was so charming in Romance is a Bonus Book.
Yeah.
I mean, all these, so this isn't him, it's the character and how he's just a little cocky right now and a little overly confident and, you know, young and, but even the end of it though, remember when they were when the director was like, we need you to be the new face of our company.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about that for a second?
Because
he was grimy for that. He was real grimy for that.
And I didn't like that.
He hasn't even started yet. You don't even know if he's good at his job. Why is he the face? But I think what you're saying is I love how it, cause I feel like maybe they wanted us to think that Junho would be I'll be the face. I'm the best. But I love that he was I want to share it with Heejin.
And I was very
right answered. Right answered.
Yeah, because in the beginning, it seemed like he's like, yeah, I'm all for it, but we need to share it.
Right.
But I'm like, no, the answer I wanted was not yet when I have more experience. That's what I wanted from him.
I didn't get it. What I wanted was not yet. You know, that was like, now I'm side-eyeing the director because I'm like, sir, I don't like that.
I don't like that, bud. No. So maybe the director's changing. Like, this is, you know, post, I don't know what it is, but he did, what did he do? He did 2018, Something in the Rain, 2019, mm-hmm. this show, and this 5 years later. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But I will continue to watch it, if anything, probably halfway, but I want to give it a chance.
Same here. I don't want to give up on it just yet. So I'm trusting the process and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I want to love it.
Yeah, I want to love it. Like, we had Jude as a lead in a romance. Like, come on. Like,
yeah,
it has to be good. So you just got to trust the process. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see. But we can open to page 64.
Oh, my God.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Woo-doop whoop. You're welcome. You could cut all of this out, actually. So just cut it all out.
I'm not going to cut it out. Oh. I am crying. I cannot. Christina, as usual, this has been a blast. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Thank you for having me. Kamsahamnida, Edibun. Look at me go, yo.
Right. Look at you. But thank you all so much for listening. Let me know what you thought of The Midnight Romance in Hagwon or The Atypical Family. Are you watching them? What do you think? What do you think of our viewpoints? Like, let me know all the things. And also, if you haven't already, please give me a follow on Instagram at Swoon Diaries Pod. And also, you can follow my podcast on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts. And Christina, where can people find you?
I was not ready for this.
You gotta get used to it, girl. You're a host now.
I'm a co-host. I don't know. No. You can find me at Spotify or Apple Podcasts at Your Girls K Drama Pod. We also review K dramas. They also have the K Drop, which is also K-pop related podcasting.
So much fun.
That one's fun too. So and then you can do you need to pause this cuz I'm going to get so much shade. I am not doing this very well.
I did it.
Hold on. Okay. You can follow on Instagram at ya girls/kdramapod on Instagram.
Yes.
And it's a fun time. It's very funny. We're chill over there too. So we do reviews. We do Chingu chats where we're just talking about any Korean related things. We just have a good time. Just the Swoon Diaries. Same. We have a good time.
Yes. Your girl's K-drama pod is a blast. It's a great time. If you get a laugh, just turn on any episode. But
yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry in advance. Mianne.
No, do not say sorry. People love it. People love it. But wow, did you hear that? Taco just like snorted.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Taco, you gotta help Taco. Taco, oh what is gosh. Happening? Taco, time to go to bed.
I know. But anyways, thank y'all. So this is such a chaotic episode. Thank y'all so much for listening. I appreciate y'all very much. And I will talk to y'all later. Bye.